I just love it when, you know, I had some things rolling around me all week when I started putting together the message. It really just a summation of what's going on here this morning, so it's kind of fun. boldness, confidence in the cross. Could you give me a glass of water, Candy? Or, I don't know what happened. Let's just pray here for a moment. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes to quicken us, to come to enlighten us, to give us, Lord, understanding. And thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit come and enlighten each one of us, Lord, to receive the portion that you have for us today, that we might be free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, therefore, brethren, Hebrews 10:19, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. The holy place. The holy place. Have you ever heard of the book, the Mishnah? You heard of that? The Mishnah? It's a book written by rabbis of the history and some of the stuff of the that's went on in Israel. Well, I was reading about the sacrifice. And it's kind of cool. Did you notice there was a celebration after communion today? Well, after the yearly celebration, the yearly forgiveness of sins that they went in and took away the sins, everybody celebrated. But it was called the Day of Espousal because many people after that would get engaged. They'd just go out there and they're having such great time they'd get engaged to one another and they'd be betrothed to one another. And it was called the Day of Espousal after that. And how true it is. What are we celebrating here if it isn't the marriage of the Lamb? That we should be excited that we have been chosen as a bride for the Lord. That He wants us to be His bride. And what a celebration that is. But this is what I want to share about the Mishnah. Is they had two goats. There was two goats. One was a scapegoat and the other was slaughtered. But the scapegoat at the end was taken outside and probably taken 10 miles, they said, away to a cliff. But before he was left and during the celebration, they'd put this crimson sash over his horns. But before they took him out, they'd ripped that crimson sash in half, put half on the goat, and half on the doorpost of the temple. And then the goat, they'd take it out 10 miles, and they would throw the goat over the cliff. And when that thing went over the cliff, it was a representation that the sins were taken away, and the crimson sash would turn white. And they would know that the sins had been taken away. Well, in this Mishnah, it said that happened until just 40 years prior to the temple being torn down. It stopped turning white. It stopped turning white 40 years before the temple was torn down. It's written in there. Isn't it interesting that these Jewish rabbis are dating when Jesus, the sacrifice of the true Lamb that took away the sins of the world, happened, and no longer was this goat going to take away anything? I just thought it was kind of cool. Just a little A little sidetrack here. Yeah. That's so I can drink it. How then do we enter this holy place? Since we have confidence to enter the holy place. Do you know that not anybody could enter that holy place? I mean, it was... By the way, I did a little research. And those of you, including myself, who thought that they used to tie a rope around the priest when he went in behind the holy place, in case he died, they could pull him out. There's absolutely nothing written ever about that any place. That's a fable. But it's probably a pretty good fable. No. People have researched and they cannot find anything except just that somebody's passed this thing down for years and years and it's just there. But I tell you what, if you were not clean, and they used to sacrifice for the priest, make sure he was clean before he went in. Because that's where God was. And you don't just come and meet with God unless you're holy. And that's the way it is today. You don't just meet with God unless you're holy. I mean, there's been churches who went into holiness movements just because of that fact. They've come to realization you don't meet with God unless you're holy, unless you're righteous. So how is it that we can enter in? It's because of Jesus. He is the Holy One. There's none holy but the Lord. No, not one. If you don't know that your life is in Christ, if you don't know that you are in Him, and it's in Him that you have permission or acceptance or favor, it's in Christ that we come in. And because of Him, we come in. Because of what He did at the cross. Were you righteous before the Father translated you into the kingdom? Is that why He brought you in? Because you were so good? Or was it like Rocky said? He looked at you and nothing but a wretch. Was it something that we did that stirred in the Father's heart that says, well, I guess now we can send Jesus Christ that your sins should be taken away? No. It wasn't anything we did. We were not holy when we came in. Then what gives us permission? How is it that we became holy? It's Jesus that makes you holy. It's Him. He's the one. You're in Him. You're on the coattails, so to speak, of Jesus. It's His holiness that's counting. Remember Jay Bunker was here, and I think he had Adam up here on his knees and was the little lamb, and they're going to sacrifice the lamb. And then they had the sinners. Do you know what the priest looked at? Did he inspect the sinner? No. Let's check the lamb out. No, this lamb isn't any good. Get another one. I want this lamb to be perfect. Come back when you get a better lamb. What did the Father look at when it concerned your sin? Did He look at you or did He look at Jesus? Was He looking at you? Was He saying, oh, you're holy, come on in? Or was He looking at the lamb? It's the lamb. It's the sacrifice of the lamb that made us righteous. Have you ever got stuck on this verse here? This verse ever bother you, this portion of Scripture? This is about the wedding of the lamb. Give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Oh my. Oh my. It's back on me again. All back on me. I gotta have someone get out a book and I'm gonna start keeping track now. I gotta have some righteous acts, and if you could get them, you know, and who's gonna find out if they're really righteous acts or not? What are these righteous acts? I don't know about you, but that verse used to really get me. What are these righteous acts? And I want to know that I have them. I want to know that I am clothed. Isaiah 61:10 says this, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in God. For He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks herself with a garland, as a bride adorned herself with jewels. So are these righteous acts, acts that we do on this earth, are they something you can do? Is this clothing something that you can figure out? Are not all the righteous acts that I could do in the Scripture say they're filthy rags? No righteous acts are considered righteous. So I had to look a little further. What are these righteous acts? And I went back to Abraham. And he believed God. Abraham believed God. And what does it say? And God counted it to him as, and I thought, acts of righteousness. That's an act of righteousness right there. He believed God. And I said, oh, now that's cool. Are you a believer? Do you believe God? He who believes in me shall have eternal life. He who believes in me, the righteous shall live by faith or believing in him. Wow. The righteous acts are the same today as they always have been. That's why God liked Abel's offering and not Cain's. Abel offered an offering in faith, and Cain did not. It was all about faith. All about believing God. Sin is at your door. Sin is crouching at your door. Do you know that sin still crouches at the door today? You got to master it, he told Cain. You must master this sin. Have you mastered sin yet? Or is sin mastering you? That's the question. In Romans 6 it says, sin shall no longer be your master. How do you master sin? Well, we sang about it today enough. We should know that it's the blood of Jesus that mastered my sin. It's the blood of Jesus that took away my sin. And not only that, there's more. There's more. These wedding garments, salvation and righteousness were manifested by one act. How did you receive the robe of righteousness, and how did you receive salvation? By one act, your faith. by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off of what you've done. Get your eyes off of anything else. What do you believe? Did the Scripture ever say, believe in what you've done? Never. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall have salvation. Believing on Him. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about what you did last night. It's about what Jesus did at the cross. That's what's really important. And like I said before, don't go to your brother when he's in a bad place and say, you need to get right with God, because he can't. But he can do this. You can say, put your trust back in Jesus. Put your trust back in the Lord. Look what He's done. You're okay in Him, but only in Him. So the wedding garments. I guess I actually had this scripture here. I just read that scripture. You can read it up there. So what are these actions, rites of these acts or works of righteousness? You know, in John 6, they come to Jesus and they said, we want to do the works of God. Just Jesus, tell me what the works of God are so we can do them. I want to do these works. You know, I see your God. I see all these wonderful things. Well, I want to be part of this, so tell me. I want to do the works of God. Have you ever felt like you wanted to do the works of God? Well, Jesus had one answer for them. Believe in Him whom He sent. Period. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. You want to do His acts? You want to do His works? You want the acts of righteousness? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the devil wants to come in and get your eyes off the Lamb and back on you. Look what you did. Look how bad you are. And you can say with all confidence, it's not about me. I want you to look at the Lamb. Is He good? If He's good, I'm good. If He's so successful, then I'm successful. Because I'm in Him. I'm in Him. So I proclaim to you that it is your faith that represents the righteous acts, not your achievement. It's not what you've done. It's what you believe in. It's what you believe in. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You have the robe of righteousness. You have salvation. You've been clothed with salvation and His robe by your faith. I'm going to read a little portion of Scripture here. Romans 14, starting at verse 1. It says this. You know, sometimes we think we're doing better than others. Might be. I've always thought that people did better than me. But I love the Scripture. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. There's probably a political lesson in that one. But anyway, one person has faith that he may eat all things. Another one, who is weak, eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God accepts him. Well, that's interesting. They're doing two different things here, and they're both pleasing to the Lord. How are we ever going to keep this thing straight in the church? How are we ever going to get everybody lined up if God will accept you for doing something other than I'm doing? How am I ever going to keep you guys straight? Well, the good news is I don't have to. The good news is It's about your faith. What do you have faith for? What do you believe the Lord is telling you to do? Do you believe it with all your heart? Because it says later, if you doubt and eat, then you're sinning. It's all about faith. It's all about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about liberty and freedom and faith and believing in Him. I think you get the idea there, hopefully. The one who believes on Jesus is righteous in God's eyes. The one who believes on Jesus is righteous in God's eyes. Do you notice that somewhere in there, it's not about your behavior? But you'll say, well, if you're not going to preach on behavior, then who's going to keep this church in line? I think God is very capable. Very capable. The Holy Spirit is very capable. So the wedding clothes are given to those who believe. The righteous shall live by faith. Now listen, faith is the life of the righteous. The righteous live by faith. Now, so faith is the life of the righteous. It's your life. Without faith, there is no righteousness for you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That kind of opens the door for a lot of sin, huh? You can't just get this nice little box of sinful things anymore. Whatever isn't of faith is sin. So you better get your box a little bigger if you're going to think about what sin is. You better, all of our behavior, you know, there was this, these girls come to Derek Prince once and said, is it okay to drink? Is it okay to smoke? Is it okay to dance? And Derek Prince gave them two answers. He said, whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord. And whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. Well, if you have faith for it, I guess if you think this is the Lord's glory, then go for it. But how many other things are there? That was obvious things. Is it okay for me to ignore my brother? Is it okay for me to slander my neighbor? Is it okay for me to slander other people? Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord. So the wedding clothes is the fine linen of righteousness and salvation, both freely given to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So our confidence, and please, it's coming a day when you're going to get tested on your confidence. Something's going to happen. It's going to get dicey but not for the church. It won't get dicey for the church. It'll be good for us. But if we're not careful, we can lose our confidence to enter into that holy place because of something that happened. Something may have happened in your life. You might have lost it. You might have done this. You ever do anything? You're not home when no one else is watching and you do things you know that aren't right. Sometimes, you know, behind closed doors, all kinds of things go on. But I'm telling you, no matter what went on behind closed doors, I say your confidence remains in the blood of Jesus. Your confidence has to remain in the blood of Jesus, not in your behavior, so that nothing has changed from heaven concerning you except your ability to believe, maybe. Maybe you've fallen into some unbelief. Then start believing again. Just turn back to the Lord and start believing again. Jesus took away the sin of the whole world and destroyed the works of the devil, which is He destroyed the works of the devil, which is... Let's start. Where did the devil start working? Did God really say? Did He really say, "You shall surely die"? That's where he began. Not really. Well, look at this fruit. It's wonderful. It'll be okay. In fact, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be just like God. Oh. Not a bad deal. I guess it should be okay. Sin came into the world. He deceived Adam and Eve, and sin came in and defiled the man. The works of the devil were to defile you, to defile man so that he could not have a relationship with God. How did he destroy that? He took it to the cross. He destroyed it on the cross. He took the old man, he took the Adamic nature and destroyed it, put it to death once and for all at the cross. He destroyed it. Done forever. We enter into that. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We get baptized into His death. And we receive the newness of what? Eternal life. Destroyed the works of the devil and gave me eternal life. He took away all the things that the devil thought he had and nailed them to the cross. And then gave me eternal life. Wow. Wonderful. Now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. What about practicing righteousness? I'm hoping you're getting this, because if you want to practice righteousness, you have to practice what Abraham did. I believe God. I believe His Word. I believe what He says in the Bible is true. I believe it's true for me. I'm practicing righteousness right now by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about behavior. I'm telling you, once you grab on to that you're righteous in Him and that you really believe that, your behavior will probably change. But don't think it can ever go the other way around. You will never get righteous by behavior. It'll never happen. You can't. It's impossible to become righteous by your behavior. It's all about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Wow. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Faith in God. Romans 10. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? For just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You're the ordained preacher. You might say, well, that's the preacher's job. No, it's you. It's us. We're all supposed to bring the good news, but God wants us to bring good news. And it's not about a list of things to make you holy. It's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, period. But believing on Him is sometimes hard for Swedes. especially. Because we must pay for everything we've done. And no one else can pay for it. We have to do that ourselves. We have a real hard time when we get to a point where someone else is going to pay for my way. I just know that because I'm 100% Swede. My dad said there was a little Norwegian in us, but he said we could take pills for that. Anybody else have that problem? So when it comes down to really believing that Jesus took away all my sin, that's a big deal. No wonder it talks about being humble and coming before Him. So you want to practice, everybody who believes in Him is practicing righteousness. That's kind of the message here. If you want to practice righteousness, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, but what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in, faith, believing. You believe in Him, it results in righteousness. And with the mouth, you confess, it results in salvation. Believe it. Believe it. Jesus took the old self, nailed it to the cross, through the resurrection. You see, Jesus crucified, buried. How many of you saw that they were digging up some tombs over in Jerusalem this week? Well, they weren't digging them up anymore. They can't do that. But they send down, through little holes in the ground, they send down little robots down into the tombs. And they found a tomb down there that said, Jehovah, raise me up, raise me up. And they were, the one guy said, well, that's obviously Jesus' tomb. He was hoping beyond hope. I'm telling you, Jesus went in the tomb and He didn't stay there. He did raise up. And I believe that that was probably some guy that believed in the resurrection. And he put on his tomb, raise me up, raise me up. More than anything. But Jesus died, was buried. Now He was all God and all man. So when He came up out of the tomb, He came up a new creation. He brought for you and me a new creation that we can enter into. So through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, He caused us to be born again into a living hope, it says in Peter. So it's through the resurrection. When He come up out of the tomb, then we could be brought in. His flesh was opened up and we were brought into Him. We were brought into Him. His veil, the veil was rent. It said, well, that was really His flesh, broken for you, opened up for you. He who eats of me has eternal life. I'm the true bread that come down from heaven. So it's out of the resurrection. But He put to death the old nature. He was the last Adam, but He was also the second man. The first man became a living soul. The second man became a life-giving spirit, of which I have received. I've received from the Lord a life-giving spirit. And everybody who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ receives a life-giving spirit. That's an eternal life-giving spirit. It's one that never dies. never dies. Last slide. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And then in verse 19 it says, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. You don't want to get shipwrecked. And you don't want to go on some cruise liners. Well, I'll tell you, it's probably about the same kind of deal. When you lose faith, you run aground. You tip over. You go shipwrecked. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Wow. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The finished work of Jesus on the cross is all we need. Let us hold fast, hold on to that faith till the end. If you hang on to that, if you just hang on to Jesus, you accomplish all this for me without my permission. And you did it for me, and I believe in you, and by believing in you, I'm righteous. By believing in you, the more I believe in you, the more righteous acts there are. But it's believing in you. The belief, walking it out in faith, do not let your faith falter. Have a sincere faith and keeping that faith in good conscience. How do you keep a good conscience? By believing in the blood. Another act of righteousness, sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus. Your conscience cannot condemn you. You know, don't go by this, let your conscience be your guide, phooey. If my conscience was my guide, I'd be around amok. I'd be shipwrecked. No GPS there. What is my guide? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. I have faith in what He did. I'll let the Holy Spirit be my guide. I'll let the Word of God be my guide, but I will not let my conscience be my guide. So our confidence remains in what Jesus has done, not what we have done. A Christian with that confidence is a great threat to the kingdom of darkness. You become a great threat to the kingdom of darkness if you're believing that way. Keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author. Now that means He's the one that penned it for you. And the finisher. Author and finisher and everything in between of your faith. He is the one who's working in you to do that which is good and pleasing to the Father. He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. He'll complete it in you. So what's our job, church? To believe. To believe. To believe. To have faith. That's what it's all about to being a Christian. Nothing more. Don't add to it. And don't subtract from it. But don't be condemned. That's why there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Because if there is, then Jesus didn't do all that He said He was going to do. He did it for me. And I can join up with Paul. The older I get, I think that's why the old ones went away from that adultery thing, you know. And they were all going to condemn this woman who was caught in adultery. And the oldest one left first because you who are without sin. Well, the more you live, the more you realize that you are dependent on Jesus. I mean, the older I get, the more dependent I become. I thought I could do a few things when I was younger that were really pleasing to God. Well, I'll tell you. Oh, I got one more slide. There it is. That's the last one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And that's really the quote I was going to make you. I was looking for it. I thought it was my last slide, but here it is. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let's run that race with endurance. But what's the endurance you have? What keeps you going? What keeps you running? Is that it's already done. It's already done for you. It's already been accomplished. All you have to do is believe. Just believe. Just believe. And keep going. Take another step. Another step. Another step each day. One step at a time. You'll make it. We'll all make it. And you know what? On the way, you'll be accomplishing the works of God. He will see to it that you will... He's got things for you to do. But it's not about... What keeps us from doing the work of God is when we get down and out and trying to get something done to please God. Can't do that. Just believe on Him and then do what God tells you to do every day. He'll instruct you. And just to give one last shot, speak in tongues more and more. Speak in tongues more and more, because that gives permission for the Holy Spirit to start flowing out from you. So that when you actually encounter somebody you need to speak in English, you won't be... First thought isn't coming from your mind. First thought is say, what is the Spirit saying? And you just let it flow. You let it flow. Let it flow. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You, Jesus, for what You accomplished for us at the cross. Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord, that we would grab hold of what You have done and be satisfied. That we could be content in all things. And not taken and sidetracked by all the whatever it is out there that would sidetrack us. We have one goal, one purpose, one function, and that's to believe in You. And then You work through us to do Your will. So Lord, make me an instrument for You, Lord. Let me play in Your choir. Lord, I want to be one in the body with You. And Lord, I pray for each one here that they could grab on to the security and the assurance of what You have done. Holy Spirit, reveal Yourself to each one today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Lord, I just thank You for what You're doing in our body. And Lord, I thank You that we believe and put our trust in You for everything. And Lord, I thank You for the favor You've given us in this city. I thank You, Lord, for all the people who are even now preparing to come. And Lord, I just thank You for this body, Lord. And I thank You for all the people who have put their trust in doing something way beyond themselves because You have asked us to do that. Thank You for Jackie, who had it in her heart, Lord, that heard the Word and believed God and said, let's go for it. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Father, we pray that You would fulfill the work of faith by Your power.
Mm-hmm.
As the Scripture says, Lord, fulfill the work of faith by Your power. Add in that Amen. Which we don't have in ourselves,
Amen.
Lord. And do it. Amen.